What a road trip this has been so far for the Flames. It wraps tonight in Ottawa. So 6-3 win over the Sens. That was a good win. 3-0 shutout win over Toronto a week ago. Those were kind of the highs on this road trip. And there was a 7-1 loss to Edmonton to kick it off. Sprinkle in a 6-1 loss to Ottawa. The loss in Toronto, the overtime loss, there were good things and bad things, but the ending, kind of a kick in the gut. But this has pretty much been, if you were to take the 5 of 6 games they've played, and really regardless of what happens in Game 6 tonight, it really has been a microcosm of this season. Up and down, complete roller coaster, zero consistency. And I thought Saturday was good, exactly what they needed to do. They bounced back. We knew they had to. I think we all kind of were talking during Saturday's game on our group chat that we weren't really surprised that the Flames came out and played the way they did, especially with them going back to the old line combinations. But it was also one game, and we've seen great one-game responses all year long, Will, and I think that's why Saturday's win for you hasn't, as much as there were good performances and lots of offense, so on and so forth, really hasn't moved the needle that much for you.
No, and they played against an Ottawa team who didn't play their best game. Their goaltender certainly didn't play their best game. So, again, we've seen this act before. I've seen it for a 1 or 2-game stretch many times before. I've seen Mark Giordano explode like he did in certain times before. So, yeah, by no means does one game where you put up 6 and still allowed 3 against the league's or the division's worst team and the league's bottom, 2 or 3 teams. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you everything's great. And the other part of that is we'll get to it in the latter half of this segment. But, Pete, we talked about it in the first 2 hours. I also have a hard time saying they figured it out because they had to go back to the old hat against a weaker team because they can't do these line combinations necessarily against stronger opponents. They went away from those because they wanted to get the likes of Monahan and Gaudreau in more advantageous matchups. So, yeah, I have a lot of trouble, I think, just really grabbing on to a whole heck of a lot from Saturday's effort. You can change that. You can certainly start pushing the narrative in the other direction by a good performance tonight. But I've seen the 1 or 2 game max many times before. In fact, too many to count. So, as I said in hour one, if that seems like I'm an extremely harsh marker today, well, you're darn right I am, because this team has not earned the benefit of the doubt, at least not in my opinion.
No, I am in agreement with you on this one. You said you're facing a team that wasn't playing at their best. And what we said coming in, even if the Ottawa Senators were playing at their best, That shouldn't be much of a hindrance for the Calgary Flames. And
wow,
so,
no
yes,
respect.
They're 7-15-1. I think I'm giving them about
zero
as much
respect.
As they deserve.
I'm offended. No,
and it's them. And it's Pat. It's respect. R-E-S-P-E-K.
Yeah.
Respect.
No respect.
Right.
No respect.
Yeah. I'm putting no respect on a team that's currently sitting last in the National Hockey League. And the teams ahead of them all have games in hand.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, Pete. I thought Matt Murray was great on Saturday. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Franchise goaltender, Matt Murray. One of the most expensive
84,
signings.
84, baby.
Oof. Yeah, rough one. We weren't going to learn a lot from that game. If it had gone the other way, it would have been an absolute disaster. Mm-hmm. And holy crap, I can't even imagine what the show would have been like. So yes, you took care of business in a situation that you were absolutely 1,000% supposed to take care of business in. Now do it again. And do it again. And then, just for kicks and giggles, let's do it one more time after that, shall we? Like, this is the start of, for me, Pat, a long process of getting back to, I guess, kind of buying in to what this team might be selling. Because to you guys' point, we have done this 100 times before where they have a bad outing, they look good against a bad team. I'm not saying problem solved anymore.
Yeah, and I don't think, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't think anybody else is either. And that's, like, I don't think anybody on
our
text line.
Well, we had a couple people text in the first hour and says,
oh, really?
Come on, guys, they won. Oh, yeah. So yep. There's absolutely people out there that are saying that.
And that's
absolutely.
That's fair, I guess. Here's why I think it's harder for some, including this show, definitely our other local show on the mornings. Like, I know why Boomer and Rhett and Pinder are having trouble buying in. I know why Klein and Logo and Will are having trouble buying in, because it's the same reason I'm having trouble buying in. We're not talking, like, at this point, one game and going game to game is hard to do because we've seen we've seen this act so many times. We've seen good, we've seen bad, and it goes back to what we were talking about on Friday. I'm kind of done hearing about how good they can be for one game. They now have to start doing this on a regular basis, playing a similar brand of hockey on a night-in, night-out basis, and then they have to make the playoffs, and then they have to do something in the postseason to start to win us over. That is the situation. Like it or not, that is the situation the Flames are in the big picture. Now, in the small picture, were there good things about Saturday's win? Of course there were, and we're going to get into those in a second. But in the big picture, I don't think Will or Klein or anyone else at this station or anyone else who cheers for this team on the outside, I don't think, hell, I would imagine that inside the front office boardroom and inside that war room, they're like, okay, yeah, show me. I don't think that anybody with the team is ready to say that, yep, that is a turning point, because how many times have we been asking or looking for a turning point this year? So that is why it's not all of a sudden singing the narrative that everything has changed. In saying that, there were definitely some positive things from Saturday, and there were definitely some things to sink your teeth into. But until this team is in a damned if they do, damned if they don't situation, they are in a no-win situation in terms of the court of public opinion. That's the spot that they have put themselves in. And until they have sustained playoff success, Klein, I don't know if that overall big picture narrative is ever going to change, and that might not be fair, mm-hmm. and it might be fair depending on how you look at it, but that's probably the situation that the Flames are sitting in right now.
No, exactly, and just a quick one, and I'm not saying anyone else is saying this, but to the people who are texting in like, oh, we've got to be positive, boys, I'm not telling you to be more negative. I'm just saying, like, it's not our job to just one win and everything's fantastic, and oh, well, they played well, so now mm-hmm. we have to talk positively about everything for 6 hours. That's just not what we're going to do. That's not what this job is. So if you are a fan who wants to do that, by all means, I'm not telling you to sit judgingly at your television as the Flames score 6 against the Ottawa Senators. But as we are looking to break this down, to your point, Pat, this team isn't going to be able to prove anything to us until the second round of the playoffs. And if they do not get to that point, then that is all the evidence that we need. So what we can talk about regular season, we can talk about like try to get back on track and building momentum or any other cliches we want to use, Will. This team is going to be judged on playoff success and playoff failure. And I understand they still have to get there, but at the end of the day, we're not going to, at least I don't want to speak for you, I'm not going to buy into anything really until I see this team do this with only 8 or so teams left in the National Hockey League. Like I can't buy into it during the regular season anymore.
Well, yeah. And I mean, we said this last week, Pat, I think you were the one who asked the question many times. Like, even if this season is salvaged, they make the playoffs, maybe not even as the 4 seed, say they get red hot and, you know, somehow grab a 2 or a 3 seed, like that doesn't do anything for me. Like I that might seem extremely harsh, but we've talked about that before and you've said the same things. I mean, even if they get this season back on track, does that really mean anything if they're out in 4 games or 5 games in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Because for me, the answer is a hard no. And again, I want to see them take the steps and improve. And I think Saturday was a great step in that direction. And I thought, you know, the guy that we've been most heavily critical on, Mark Giordano, I thought he was great on Saturday. I thought that's exactly what you want to see mm-hmm. from a captain. But I'm sorry, against a lame duck team like Ottawa, it's just not going to cut it. And I think that a lot of these questions will be answered in the playoffs, and at least certainly give you a more clear picture come playoff time. But the bottom line is, Pat, and the reason why the needle is not going to get moved anytime soon for me, the expectations for this team were not only playoffs, but to be kind of in that top 3 seeds. And right now, through 22 games of the year with 34 left, this team is kind of going to be scratching and crawling just to make the playoffs. So that to me right there should tell you a lot about where, you know, the answers to these questions, should it not?
I'm having it yeah. And I'm having a hard time, and I'm really trying to put myself in both camps, because I'm having a hard time separating myself from the bigger picture conversations of this team right now. But at the same time, I understand that you might be listening in your car or at your office or at home right now, and you might absolutely be dialed in and living day to day with this team. So I want to make sure that we're hitting both. And that's why I think that the next conversation conversation we're going to get into is, it's again, it's going to be a tough one to separate me from the big picture, but I also think there's some really interesting kind of right now, day-to-day important conversations to have with this team. Is hour two of the big show is underway. It's Will Nall, it's Peter Klein, it's Pat Steinberg, it's Logan Gordon. Everything coming at you live today from the Iconic Studio, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Telecommunications, it's Iconic. Contact them today at iconicec.ca. Flames finish off a six-game road trip tonight in Ottawa. 5 o'clock face-off, 4 o'clock warm-up right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We know the goaltending matchup will be the same as what we saw the first two games of this set. David Rittich for Calgary and Matt Murray for Ottawa. Jacob Markstrom close, but not quite ready to return as of yet, so it will be Rittich for a fifth consecutive time. We're not expecting very many changes for the Flames tonight, but might be a change or two. We'll see when they hit the ice for warm-up in Ottawa. Senators making one change, Brännström out, Coburn in. Otherwise, they will stay the same. So let's dive into the smaller picture conversation. Juggled up the lines, back to last season, back to the bubble, and it does raise a fascinating debate about how this team should be structured. We know that these lines, with Monahan between Gaudreau and Lindholm, with Backlund with Tkachuk and Mangiapane, Bennett, Lucic, and Dubé, we know that these lines can get them to the playoffs. We know these lines can get them a semblance of regular season success, but can they get them anywhere once they're there? And Klein, I don't know how many times we've talked about the conversation about Elias Lindholm, etc. I remain a staunch believer that Lindholm is this team's best center. But I think that, you know, through 21 games prior to Saturday, what I think we found out and why I think this became something that needed to be put on the table is that the drop-off from right wing without Lindholm there is significantly larger than the drop-off is without Lindholm at center. You've got Monahan, who has one even strength goal all this year. You've got Gaudreau, who has had really good stretches. He's had more quiet stretches, and you want to get two of your most important offensive players going. You maybe want to see if you can reunite a true top line in your eyes. Like, I would imagine, and I know Jeff Ward downplayed it when he spoke to the media today, but I would imagine this wasn't necessarily something they wanted to do, knowing how well Lindholm had played at center. But at the same time, when it has been a dead spot on the right side, I don't think, Klein, I gave enough, or I don't think going into the season anyway, I saw the gap at right wing being so detrimental to this team. 21 games in, it has been a big time hindrance to them at 5-on-5. I understand why they're doing this.
I do too. And we, again, this goes back to the bigger picture, smaller picture conversation we were having, because bigger picture, you're going back to old reliable in a season where old reliable won't really cut it. But smaller picture, this is a team that still needs wins. And this is a team that still needs to get into the postseason. And the issue I am having, because I do agree with you on the right side, center just stacked up so well with Lindholm there. Like, you have Sean Monahan, who has scored a bunch of goals, I think is a good second line center. You ask him to be your number one center, and I push back a little bit. And Backlund, I think at this point, with the inconsistency, although that has been a lot better in the latter part of this season so far, really good third line center. Second line center, yeah, is all right. And with Lindholm at the top, like, it just, again, to steal the Peter Labardius term, it just slotted so well. But the right side was a tire fire. And so I think at this point, you do have to make this switch. Long term, Will, I like Elias Lindholm down the middle. But for the Calgary Flames right now, it was clear that was not working. And so that is why, in the short term, I do not mind this decision from the Flames.
Yeah, and I really don't know when or if you can go back to Lindholm down the middle. As much as I loved it, like the two of you, I said it a couple of times before, Pat, when we've had initial conversations of this, and we saw it very first come to light when Dylan Dubé got hurt. This team just isn't deep enough or isn't good enough to have that. And I understand where you're coming from, Klein, because I'm with you. Yes, the center depth looks a lot better when you've got Lindholm as your number one center. But the bottom line is, I said this, you know, that seemed to be kind of that missing piece on the right side in the top six, and they were never able to find that, and so they've had to scrap that. Now, with Derek Ryan getting back and getting closer, getting healthy, I would imagine you'll see him when this team comes back home. And for me, when Derek Ryan's healthy and playing, your center drop-off really isn't too bad, and a lot of that is tied to to how well Sam Bennett can play in that number three slot as a centerman. And if he plays well and gives you what you saw in the playoffs, and certainly what we've seen in different stretches this year as a number three center, well, then you're probably a little bit more okay with it. So, yeah, long-term, Pat, I don't know if they can ever go back to this unless you completely change the construction of this roster.
Long-term this season or long-term beyond this season?
Well, unless you change the way your roster is constructed, I don't know if you can, like, going into next year, if they bring in three new guys at entry level or minimum pay,
they
like,
need
they.
I'm kind of with you. They need like a they need a top
they
six right shot right winger, right? Like they would need another guy that they could confidently put with Monahan and Gaudreau, preferably with a right shot and clearly a top six winger, like Toffoli or whoever it might be. That's the player that they need to be comfortable to do this, right?
Yeah, for me, the bottom line is they don't have enough high-end talent. They don't. They don't have enough players that you can confidently fill your top six with and be okay with. You can argue that they're only missing one piece. Sure. But the bottom line is what we've seen this season, I'm sorry, Josh Levo, Dominic Simone, anybody you want to throw at me, they haven't been good enough in that spot.
Toffoli
that includes Sam Bennett. What's that?
Toffoli would have been a perfect fit.
That would have been perfect. Absolutely.
I know.
I think long to answer your question about the short-term, long-term, Pat, I don't know if they can ever go back to that unless they completely overhaul their roster. So, yeah, this is the only move to me that makes sense. And it goes back to the kind of the overarching question of have you made any progress, period? And if you're going back to old reliable, it's hard to say that you have.
Well, and that's kind of where that's where I have a tough time, guys, with this big picture, small picture conversation, because as much as I was adamant that Lindholm down the middle is what's best for this team, and personally, I still believe that in the big picture, the way it's constructed right now, you're right, Will, it's not working. And this probably, unless it's proven otherwise here in the next 10, 15, 20 games, this probably gives them the best chance to have success in the regular season. My problem is that these lines and these combinations have not gotten it done when it matters the most. Lindholm, Gaudreau, and Monahan have fallen off a cliff in three playoff series, if you want to include Winnipeg. They got completely run over by MacKinnon and company against Colorado. And it was, Blake Como and Andrew Cogliano and Corey Perry that were hemming them in and rendering them very ineffective against Dallas. And that's an issue to me. And I know that we rip on Gaudreau and Monahan a lot for their lack of playoff success, and rightfully so in a lot of ways, but it's not like Lindholm has been outstanding in the postseason either. I think he's got three playoff points at even strength in his 15 games. So that's the thing that worries me in the long term, is that when it matters the most, that line, that trio hasn't gotten it done. In the small picture, though, for them to get there and for them to maybe be in a spot to make an acquisition before the deadline or something like that, I think that 21 games, you gave it a shot. And I, as somebody who is pushing for Lindholm at center and who still believes that is a really viable, important option for this team, even I can say, yep, you know what? They gave it 21 games. Didn't work the way I thought it would. Didn't work the way the team wanted it to. And now you're in a spot where, for the time being, this is probably your best bet. So it really is, Will, that big picture, small picture conversation, which is tough to really plant yourself on either one side of that convo.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's why I'm having trouble saying that there's been progress or steps made, because you're going back to old hat and we haven't seen this work in the past. So, and I said this in hour one to Klein, and I'll bounce it off you too, Pat. I mean, and again, this just seems like we're trashing on Ottawa this segment, but like, are you confident these combinations are working against a Toronto or an Edmonton or a Montreal?
I want to see him try anyway.
Yeah, we want to see it tried. And until we see that, we can't really answer that. But that's the test. And that's when you find out if there's been any progress made. But man, it's I guess making this decision now to go back to these is better than doing it in game 32 or game 40. But it just kind of also makes you wonder, like, okay, I understand you wanted to try Lindholm down the middle, but if you had preseason, maybe it's a different story because you would have been able to see it. But I just wonder at the same time, Pat, what took you to game 23 to do it?
Yeah. Well,
right?
And Klein, to that point, I think there was definitely a worthy case to be made about giving Lindholm an extended run down the middle. And I think, you know, I don't think this is a case where you can come away saying that they didn't give it a proper run. And I still think there is plenty of conversation to be had about giving it more run. Hell, maybe even this season, we'll see. But for the time being, you gave it a run. It wasn't because of anything Lindholm did, because he was great in that spot. It was more about what wasn't working elsewhere and more about some drop-off in some other spots.
Yeah, and more about like what you weren't getting, because at the beginning of the year, we were talking about those pairs. And you see, okay, Tkachuk and Lindholm, that is a fine pair, but then there were stretches where Tkachuk wasn't getting going, and then whoever you would put there, Dylan Dubé was really fighting it to start the season. And then with Gaudreau and Monahan, it's all right, let's try Dominic Simone, and you barely noticed him. And it just went on down the line, and just some of the things that were brought in to kind of plug the holes weren't necessarily working. And so now I understand what Will's saying, like, why did it take so long? But there was enough going just right enough that maybe you could talk yourself into it. But now, I do think, guys, this kind of speaks to the desperation of the situation that the Flames are in. 34 games remaining, sitting outside of a playoff spot, no matter which column you sort by, whether it's points or points percentage, they are not in it. And Montreal is the team they are chasing, and the Habs have games in hand on the Flames right now. Like, we are getting, this is, even in a regular season, if there's 34 games left, that is the stretch run. Like, it's getting very serious. And yeah. So I do think that this kind of speaks to the urgency of the situation the Flames are in right now, Pat.
Last word to you, Will, before we wrap and throw it a break.
I honestly don't have a ton to add. We'll see what these combos bring tonight, and we'll see if perhaps they can string two together. But I do agree that there was enough to keep those lines going for as long as they did. But I do think there's a sense of, at least from me, a sense of, well, it kind of failed, and you kind of feel like, you know, those days where you get knocked down a couple of rungs on the ladder. That's what it kind of feels like to me.